And the gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Herein is good news.
Praise be to God.
Over the years, I have taken many children and youth on overnight adventures, both while I was a teacher and also as a minister. And always, as we were preparing to leave, we would have great discussions about the trip, why we were going, what we were going to learn, and how we might be of help to others. And I always had high expectations, and I would share them, and they would listen. In today's gospel reading, we find Jesus giving his disciples instructions before he sends them out. Jesus feels such compassion for the people, and he works tirelessly to heal, to give them hope. Jesus' place of welcome is not in a building. It travels with him wherever he goes, and he makes people feel at home wherever and however he meets them. And he wants his disciples to go out and do likewise. And so he focuses on two things: have no fear and have an undivided heart. Basically, he wants them to extend a holy welcome to everyone. I suspect the disciples were nervous. They had watched carefully as Jesus stood before the people, teaching and healing. They knew that he had an unbelievable way with words and with his actions and simply with his presence. Jesus knew what he was asking of them, and wanting to encourage them, he said, "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." When someone opens their heart to another, when someone offers a sincere welcome, that gift of compassion is good for one's spiritual health as it is for the other. And the more extravagant the welcome, the stronger inspiration will come from it. And as much as there was huge unrest in Jesus' world, in Jesus' time, there were also wonderful stories of hospitality that we read all through the scriptures. I come from a fairly large family, and we are very busy. One year, my sister, Peggy, was asked to come and teach in the UAE for a couple of years. And she would often speak of the hospitality that she received while she was there. She said that their hospitality dates back to their ancestors, who would be living on a desert, sometimes all by themselves, or perhaps a dozen or so families together. And they would see a stranger. A stranger would come across the desert, and they would welcome them and they would feed them. Even those who had very little, perhaps even a goat or two, they would, without hesitation, kill their very best goat and have a feast. They believed that they may well be saving a life, and in turn, that life may save the life of another. This sense of extreme hospitality has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. There is a theologian, a minister that I read of often, and her name is Barbara Brown Taylor. And when she was writing about this particular scripture, she said, to put it simply, there are times when we are consumers of God's love, but we are also called to be providers of that love. We must receive, but we must also give. For me, discipleship is about the grace of this hospitality. It's about having an open heart. And I know that it's easier to invite those to come and join with us, those that belong to our community, our church, our family. It is more comfortable because we're familiar with it. But the real meaning of hospitality is found in inviting someone who cannot repay us, someone that we may not know. And that is what Jesus is asking of his disciples and of us. When we turn on the news, we hear of terrorism, injustices, unrest, starvation. We hear of disease. We hear of the darkest of moments in our world. And at times it feels to everyone as if the hope is slipping away. And then we hear stories of discipleship. We hear stories of incredible hospitality that is extended by people of all ages. There are some amazing moments, and many we never hear about, but they are there. And when we hear only one, it reminds us of the hope, of the light that is still in this world. A couple of years ago, I heard of a young girl named Maggie. Maggie is now just 30 years old, and she has already received many awards. She has received the Forbes Excellent in Education Award. She has received the Unsung Hero of Compassion, awarded by the Dalai Lama. She has been named a CNN Hero of the Year, and so on. Maggie was just an ordinary girl going through high school. And when she graduated, she decided she would take a gap year. And in this gap year, she would travel and she would volunteer. She found herself in India, in northern India. She volunteered at a children's home. And while she was there, she became very good friends with a young girl from Nepal. And so when the civil war that was raging there, when it had come to an ease, this girl, her friend, and Maggie traveled to Nepal. And while she was there, she met a little six-year-old girl. She watched her for a moment before she spoke. She was barely surviving on just a few rupees. And how she got those rupees was by breaking stones in a dry riverbed, and then she would sell them. She only had enough money to buy food. She couldn't pay for her tuition to school. She couldn't afford the uniform. Maggie watched this little girl and decided that she would pay for her tuition. She would buy her a uniform, and she would buy her the books. But as Maggie stood there, she saw so many children that needed help. And so she thought of her babysitting money. She had saved $5,000. And like all good children do, she then called her parents. She asked her parents to send her more money. With her money, her parents' donation, and many funds from supporters around the world, Maggie purchased land in Nepal, and she began to build a school. She established a nonprofit organization. She runs a school. She has a children's home. She has built a women's center, and she has a health clinic. The school provides students with health care and food. It employs about 50 people, people who teach, people who care for them, people who are administrators. And now, Maggie and her team are working to build a new campus. It will replace the existing school. A team of engineers, of architects, of developers, environmental experts using sustainable and green techniques to build the school are working with her. This new school will be on about 3 acres of purchased land. It will serve children from kindergarten up to grade 12 and beyond. They will have a post-secondary school. They will have a vocational center. They will help these children dream dreams and then fulfill those dreams. And there will be about 500 students that will be enrolled. They have already a working farm. They already have a fruit nursery. And all of this evolved out of a dream of an 18-year-old girl. It is a wonderful and inspiring story, but there are many of these holy, welcoming stories around the world. And some of them, many of them right here in Fredericton itself, with people of all ages. But we know hospitality can be a risky business. An open heart, an open home, an open church, and times will be the target of some troubling experiences. There will always be challenges, but it can also be the recipients of some wonderful, unexpected surprises, surprises that will be filled with such grace. When I returned to Fredericton, I was amazed and encouraged by how many great outreach programs were being successfully carried out by the churches in the area, here at St. Paul's, at Wilmot, and beyond. I found hope in the world that reached, in the work that reached beyond the walls of our church walls. I found hope in the partnerships that had been formed. It was wonderful. It is inspiring. Henry Nouwen, a writer and scholar, a priest and a theologian, wrote, "Hospitality means the creation of free space where a stranger can enter and become a friend. Hospitality is not about to change people, but it's to offer them a space where change can take place." Yesterday, all across Canada, voices could be heard celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Confederation of Canada. Music, dance, laughter, fireworks, wonderful stories, wonderful heartwarming and welcoming stories by many, 150 new Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Celebrations were seen, fireworks were heard. But as I shared at the beginning of the service, the history of Canada has both joy and sorrow. It has both triumph and tragedy. So much wrong and so much hurt has been done over the years, particularly with our Indigenous people. So much work towards reconciliation needs to be honored, needs to be a focus for our country, who is known for its warmth, its love, its friendship, and its hospitality. When I traveled with the children and youth, we were always welcomed with open hands and open hearts into communities that did not even know us. I watched the youth make friends so easily. I watched them ask such thought-provoking questions. I watched as they sat on the edge of the river in Iqaluit, observing the local residents enjoy the land as they fished for char. I watched the faces of the people as the youth shared their gifts with them. And in a small coastal village in BC, Bella Coola, I watched as a young Indigenous boy, with a drum beneath his arm, walk alongside our youth into the old force on the coast. I watched him show them the rock carvings that were over 10,000 years old. I watched as he shared some of their culture with these young people. And then one evening, one of the youth ran through the door of the home in which we were staying and said, They are just like us. It was all worthwhile. Canada does have much to celebrate, but it also has much to lament. But it also has much to dream. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water." Our faith is always a work in progress. So let us keep our hearts open. Let us be filled with the Spirit's vision of what tomorrow might hold. I'm going to invite the choir to stand, but I'm going to invite you to remain seated as we sing from More Voices 79.